Thank you, Mr. Chair. Since the entry into force of the BWC, scientific and technological developments have fundamentally changed the global landscape of the life science, with important implications to the convention. All fields such as biotechnology, biogenetics, bioinformatics, synthetic biology, bioengineering have been created. More recently, developments in the field of microbiology have been taking place at neck-breaking speed with almost immediate economic applications and raising concerns about potential dual-use capabilities. The direct impact of these technologies on the implementation of the BWC includes the potential military use of associated knowledge, possible exposure to new pathogens, and the dissemination of cooperation tools in the area of research and treatment. While we consider that the review of developments in science and technology must remain a priority of the BWC, we must also caution against any possible restriction on access to technologies and equipment to state parties. There should be no hindrance to basic research in countries which rely on technological transfers. What will hinder cooperation, assistance, and preparedness efforts under the BWC itself? In this context, it is of utmost importance that the implementation of the BWC is considered in a holistic manner, taking into account each and every state party's concerns, especially the integral implementation of Article 10. At this point of my national statement, Mr. Chair, I would like to fully support the statement made by the distinguished delegate of Pakistan. We fully second his statement. Mr. Chair, two simultaneous phenomena should be taken under consideration by state parties as we move towards the 2021 ninth review conference of the BWC. Firstly, there is a scientific and technological revolution presently unfolding in the field of life sciences. New techniques are already accomplishing what was not foreseeable until recent years. There are also a growing number of amateur biologists, the do-it-yourself communities, which are active in several countries, including Brazil, and undertake experiments not supervised by governmental institutions, academic bodies, or the private sector. The issue is complex, as recently discussed in a workshop organized by the ISU. On that occasion, some delegations advocated for the innovative character of those communities. Others, however, raised concerns about potential accidents and risks of misuse of sensitive research. Brazil has governmental programs to identify facilities where biological agents are manufactured or stored, as well as where there is research on biological technologies. The same governmental program promotes awareness-raising activities and training with a view to foster a culture of biosafety and biosecurity. It's worthwhile noting the report of the Breakout Group on International Cooperation for Peaceful Purpose on the recent international conference, Global Biological Challenge. The report of this working group is in working paper BWC MSP 2019 MX.5 WP.3. The report states the following, and I quote, "A concern was raised about the increasing number of BSL-3 laboratories which can present a dual-use risk. The suggestion was made that there should be some kind of system to verify proper use of such labs," unquote. Mr. Chair, we are cognizant that BSL-3 laboratories are complex and expensive facilities, and they are only affordable for governments, research institutions, or the private sector. Wherever they are located, these BSL-3 laboratories are under some sort of supervision, while DIY communities have no established governmental, academic, or private sector affiliation, and therefore work outside the purview of any official regulation. These circumstances only reinforce the need for re-establishing discussions about a verification protocol to address concerns on the growing number of BSL3 laboratories, as well as on the DIY communities. As we look forward to the ninth review conference, it is important to highlight that biological weapons are not exclusively pathogenic. There is already knowledgeable scientific literature on the risks of non-pathogenic weapons that can potentially affect the human immune system as well as on neural weapons. Biological agents in the future might be different from the traditional pathogens and bioweapons agents that have been used in the past. Future pathogens may be able to focus on different targets such as human microbiome or the nervous system, the environment, or agriculture. Other biological agents may be engineered to enhance virulence and transmissibility or have the ability to evade detection. There is also an even more worrisome development, as some scientific advances can make it possible to overcome the tactical dilemma of biological weapons, in which those who decide to use such weapons could fall victim of the same biological agent. Quite soon, bioweapons could be designed to target only populations with certain genetic characteristics, protecting the aggressor of any backfire. These are some of the new science and technology developments relevant to the convention that we want to address. Countries which are developing these cutting-edge technologies, which could be weaponized, bear a special responsibility to reinforce the BWC mechanisms in a multilateral and non-discriminatory manner. I thank you, Mr. Chair.